Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do want to let you know this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and if you are in the listening area, maybe you're looking for a church home, maybe you're visiting, we would love for you to come by and visit with us at Mount Lebanon. We are located just outside of the Boone city limits on Highway 105 South. That would be from Boone going towards Fosco. And on the right, there is Baird's Creek Road. And we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We have Sunday school for all ages, including our Collegians for Christ ministry outreach, our college class, high school, right on down to the little ones, and then on up through the rest. And so we start Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then at 11 a.m. we have our Sunday morning worship service. We have more information about our church and our service times on our church website, which is mountlebanonbc.org. That is mtlebanonbc.org. We also have these radio broadcasts archived and sermons from Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Wednesday nights. We've been preaching through the book of Mark for over 2 years now, and we're just about ready to wind that up and start something else. So we wanted to let you know about that. I guess August is just about gone, and that means summer's just about gone as well. So we have storms popping up and all kinds of things going on as usual, but we're glad to be back one more time. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here helping us today. Hope you're having a good day so far.
I am. It's good to be here, and we do want to say welcome this morning to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners and the opportunity that we have to be on the different radio stations. Now, we have been studying for several weeks. In fact, this is number five, part five, in our study on civics. And we've been looking at this for the past several weeks. We're going to continue on with that for some time yet. I'm not exactly sure how long we'll study civics. I guess it could just be an indefinite study. And so we'll just leave it open-ended there. But I have really gotten a lot out of this. I hope you have, if you've been able to listen in from week to week. Civics, if you wonder what that is, maybe you remember that from elementary school or high school, but civics is the study of rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And our founders desired that America would be more than just a great experiment. It was called sometimes the great experiment, but they wanted the blessings of liberty to perpetuate from one generation to the next. Not just, hey, let's try this, but let's put something into place that will last from generation to generation to generation. The introduction to the Constitution says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." And so what they wanted to do, they wanted to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And our posterity means our children and our children's children and our children's children's children, right on down the line. They wanted this great republic to go on. They also knew that in order for this to happen, it would depend upon the people. And it would depend upon the people, not just depend upon them, but it would depend on them being intelligent and informed concerning civics, concerning their rights, concerning their duties, their responsibilities, and how government works. And they had a great desire that people would be informed, that they would be educated concerning how government works. And here's something that I've noticed several times down through the years. If you can get a hold of an old history book, a United States history book, you will find that there is a huge emphasis placed upon telling how our country came into being. And going over the Constitution, going over the Founding Fathers, talking about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, the process, how it came about, all of those things. There was a lot of emphasis placed upon it. And I'm afraid in our day and time, that end of our history has really been let down upon. But they knew that it was important that the people be educated, that they be informed about how government works. Here is something I want to share with you from the writings of Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson said this: if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Boy, that's a good statement. That's worth remembering. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. And so if you are interested in destroying America, I think I would try to hide our history. I think I would try to hide our heritage from the new generation, the young generation that was coming along. And I think I would try to make sure that they were more interested in other things other than civics, how we came to be, how our government works, what our rights are, and what our duties are. Now, this would be a good place to quote from the Bible. I like to quote from the Bible just very often because that's the only thing it does not change. And we can put stock in what the Bible, the Word of God, says. And here's what God said about the nation of Israel in the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse number 6. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." And so they were destroyed, the Bible says, for lack of knowledge. And they had rejected the knowledge of God. And if you read all of that in its context, they had rejected the Lord and His Word. And His Word gives light. And when we reject the Word of God, well, we are going to have darkness in its place. And so God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." Now, the first week when we looked at the subject of civics, I gave several examples of the Apostle Paul and how he used his knowledge of civics in his own defense on several occasions. And he also used his knowledge of civics in the defense of the gospel. He knew the law. He knew his rights as a Roman citizen, and he was very careful to make sure that he was treated accordingly. Now, he was not twisting. He was not taking advantage of the system. He was using the laws that were in place for his advantage. And so when the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," he really had a stock in the leaders following the law. And you and I today, if you are listening in, American citizen, I don't care if you're a Democrat, I don't care if you're Republican, I don't care if you're right wing, left wing, center of the road, you and I have a vested interest in knowing what the Constitution says, knowing about the Bill of Rights, knowing about the Declaration of Independence, and knowing and understanding how our government works and what freedom really is, what liberty really is, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, and all down the line we could go. It is to our interest, it is to our benefit that we know about civics. We know how the government works. Now, I want to read something else from the writings of Thomas Jefferson. He said this, and this is why this is important, that we learn and understand what is going to keep America, America. Listen to what Thomas Jefferson said. No other sure foundation can be devised for the preservation of freedom and happiness. He went on, he said, preach a crusade against ignorance. Establish and improve the law for educating the common people. Let our countrymen know that the people alone can protect us against these evils of misgovernment. And so what can be devised to be put into place for the preservation of freedom and happiness? And he said, improve the law for educating the common people. Now, every election year it rolls around, and the politicians talk about education, education, education. And I'm all for education. I believe in it with all of my heart that we need to be an educated society. But I think many times what we find going on in our schools is not so much education, reading, writing, arithmetic, history, from a proper context, but what we have is social engineering experiments. And so now, what is it, what is our leadership talking about going on in the schools? For example, the Obama administration handing down, I don't forget now what they called it, but you know, he's said from the White House that children ought to be able to decide what bathroom they want to go into. That's got nothing to do with school. School is about learning how to read, learning how to write, learning about our country, learning about our government. But what if we wanted to destroy the nation? What if we wanted to destroy freedom? Well, let's forget about our history. Let's become consumed with other things. Thomas Jefferson said, improve the law for educating the common people. Let our countrymen know that the people alone can protect us against these evils of misgovernment. Whose responsibility is it? It's the responsibility of the people. But if the people do not know how the government is supposed to operate, they won't know who to hold accountable for what. They'll just accept any old thing that comes down the line. And that is one of the ways you destroy a nation, by lack of knowledge. Now, last week we looked at what a constitutional republic was. A constitutional republic is where the officials are elected as representatives of the people and must govern according to existing constitutional law that limits the government's power over its citizens. And I said this before, just a moment again, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're right-wing, left-wing. You ought to be concerned in the preservation of the Constitution. A strong Constitution, which we have one, and boy, it would really benefit us if our leaders would get a hold of this and begin to follow what the Constitution says. But the Constitution will preserve us during times of bad leadership. And I think we're headed down the road for some bad leadership. It's going to be bad one way or the other. One would be worse, in my opinion, than the other. But I just can't really get excited about what there is to choose for from as far as a president is concerned. But the Constitution, if you know anything about the Constitution, it is a binding document. It is a binding law. The Constitution is actually a law. It is the supreme law of the land, and all of our elected leaders are to take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Now, the Constitution limits not the enemies, both foreign and domestic. The Constitution limits the government. I want to read something else from the writings of Thomas Jefferson, and he said this, talking about our Constitution, he said this, and I quoted this last week. He said, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. The Constitution is binding, and the Constitution is limiting. It limits what the government can do. Now, my secular work that I used to be involved in, I have not been involved in it in several years now, but I used to be involved in delivering lumber for a building supply. And we would take out huge loads of lumber to job sites where they're building a house or a building of some sort. And we would get a big order together. We may have four stacks of 2x4s, four units of various types of lumber that we gathered together. You know, an initial order for a house. You got 300 2x4s, 8, and you've got to have stuff for the foundation. You've got to have pressure-treated lumber, 2x8s, 2x12s. I mean, you got all kinds of variety and lengths in there. And we'd have to gather this all together, and we would bind it up in bundles. Then we'd load maybe four big bundles on a truck, and we'd wrap a great big chain around it. And we would take binders and bars, and we would bind it all together. And then as we bound it all together with chains, we would bind it to the truck with the straps that are on the truck. We bound that down as tightly as we could because we didn't want it to go anywhere. We didn't want it to move. We wanted it to remain the same as when we had put it together and put it on that truck. And so when Thomas Jefferson said, "Let no more be said of confidence in man," let's not brag about, boy, I like this fellow and I like that fellow and I like this person and I like that person and I think they'd do a good job. Phooey on all that. Forget about all that. Don't put your confidence in man. But Thomas Jefferson said, but bind him down from mischief, from doing wrong, from doing evil with the chains of the Constitution. The Constitution was designed to bind men down and keep them from overthrowing, overrunning, overstepping their authority, doing things in our government that they did not have authority to do. And so the greatest protection of the American people against a Hillary administration, some people are scared to death, against a Trump administration. I noticed one of the comics last week was talking about picking out a home in Vancouver, Canada. You know, they're insinuating that if Trump gets in, that they're going to move to Canada. And other people, if Hillary gets in, you know, it's going to be the end of the world. But the greatest protection for us is not who you vote in, it's the Constitution of the United States. Bind them down. Psalms 149 in the Bible is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And one of the things, it's very short, you can read it in just a couple of minutes, but one of the things that they're praising God for is the right to self-defense. In verse number 6 of Psalms 149, it says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." And so here the people of God are, and they're praising God in the sanctuary. They're at what we would say church, and they're singing out of the hymn book, and they're singing about, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." They are praising God because they have the right to self-defense, what we would say the right to keep and bear arms. That two-edged sword was not for deer hunting. You know, some people say, well, we need the Second Amendment there, and you know, Grandpa always wanted to make sure we could go deer hunting. That's not what that's for. That was to guard against tyranny. That was to protect the people from the government. That two-edged sword was not a little knife for carving ducks, you know, carving wooden figurines out of wood. That two-edged sword was a military-grade weapon, and so they were praising the Lord because that they had a right to defend themselves. And then it goes on down, and it talks about this, and I'm getting to a point here. Thomas Jefferson was talking about the Constitution. He said, "Speak no more of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief with the chains of the Constitution." And in Psalms, they praise God because they have the right to self-defense. And then they go on praising the Lord. Here's what else they said they had the right to. Verse number 8, "To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. And so they said, praise the Lord. We've got our right to defend ourselves. Let a two-edged sword be in our hands. And then they said, praise the Lord. We've got the power to bind our kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment. And this deals with the fact that in the sight of God, they were all equal in the sight of the law. They were all equals in the sight of the law. That is how a republic, a republican form of government, means that everybody is equal in the sight of the law. The Constitution applies to everybody. Like Paul said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And if the king broke the law of the land, the people had the authority to defend themselves. The people had the authority to bind the king with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. They were all equal in the sight of the law. It wasn't this situation where, the king, one law applies to him, and, you know, him and his family, they can get by with murder. And a little old fella down the street down here, you know, we're gonna throw him under the jail for jaywalking. The law applied to everybody, and the people knew that God granted them certain liberties and freedoms and rights, and they're praising the Lord for that, that even their kings and their nobles were subject to judgment, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Now, there are those that say, oh, the Second Amendment, that's out of date. We need to do away with it and take up all the guns. Well, let me tell you something. The only people who have guns are the criminals and the government. But if you lose your right to keep and bear arms, there's no protection against a tyrannical government. And where once you had a freedom, now you're a criminal if you have that. I'm telling you, it'd be a very bad thing in America for the Second Amendment to be done away with, even though there are those that call for it all the time. But the kings and the nobles, they were all equal in the sight of the law. Now, I believe we've lost some of that in the day and time in which we live. It seems like there's a law for some and not for others. And let me give an example. If you and I, anybody listening in to the radio broadcast today, if we had done and been guilty of what Hillary Clinton has done and been guilty of, and I'm talking about sending emails back and forth with classified information, you and I would not be in jail. We'd be, like the old saying says, we'd be put under the jail. But here she is, and it's been proven, and the FBI testified, and they all said, you know, yes, she done this, yes, she knew what it was, and she's guilty of it, and she's running for president. Now, something is not right with that picture, and I would say the same thing if it was Trump or if it was Bush or if it was Obama or anybody else. I mean, the law is the law, and if we're going to live in a constitutional republic, the law has to be equally applicable to everyone under it. And if it's not, then we're in a mess. And so it's not right. If our constitutional republic was operating as it should be, she would be in prison, and she would not be running to be the president of the United States. And that is just a matter of fact. When I was in the Air Force, and you know, to even handle anything, here's how crazy that whole situation is. I mean, here I am. I'm a little peon nobody. But you had to have a certain clearance and understanding with anything that you dealt with that was labeled classified. It didn't matter what it was. And I remember the first, and I, you know, worked my way up and got certain clearances and everything. And I remember the first time I seen my first classified piece of equipment. And it was a cardboard box that had a thing in it, and it didn't even look like nothing. I mean, who cares? It looks like something you'd pick up in an electronics yard sale. But I'll tell you what, they let us know real quick, This is serious business. Serious business. If it's labeled classified, if it's got a C in the nomenclature and that, you know, our how we handled things, man, you had to be utmost. And you're going to tell me the Secretary of State didn't know what she was passing around and emailing back and forth? That's just about laughable. Well, whose fault is it? It's Congress's fault. Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution says the Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason. And so it's Congress's fault on one hand, and it's amazing unto me that nothing else has been said. Well, it's amazing on one hand, and then on the other, I'm not surprised. Well, I didn't get as far as I intended to today, but I hope that we've established at least one fact that we the people, this is so very important, and this is what's going to play a great part in helping America remain America. Now, we need to turn back to God, number one. We need revival in our midst, and we need to repent of our sins against the Almighty. But I'll tell you what would help us a whole lot is for the people to be informed and the people to be intelligent concerning civics, our rights, our responsibilities as citizens, our duties as a citizen, and to just understand how government works. That is so very, very important that we understand these things about our government, about our history, and that we share it with others. There's a way to share that with others without making people mad. And this is why I say this so many times. It shouldn't matter what political side of the fence you're from. And I'm encouraged that more and more people in our country, it seems, are becoming independent. Or here in North Carolina, you don't register independent, but you can register unaffiliated. It ought to be our desire. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm for the Constitution. I'm for America. I am for our country carrying on. And so some things we've been talking about concerning civics. We see our time is quickly come and gone today. My, it does get by. But we just wish you the very best. We desire your prayers. One for another. We do appreciate the opportunity to come this way each and every week and take just a little bit of time and talk about some of these things that are so very important. So we appreciate you listening in today. Noah's going to come and give our contact information. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mountlebanonbc.org. Or you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596.